This is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Finofanoa Malolele. In Samoa, half a day this Friday will be dedicated to the dengue-related cleanup of public spaces and government buildings. The Ministry of Health's Acting Director General, Dr. Glenn Fatupaito, says this is an effort to eradicate mosquito breeding grounds.
So the idea is the different ministries surrounding their areas just clean up areas, waterways, any place that holds water, potential breeding grounds and such.
Lobbying to form Solomon Islands' next government is intensifying, with only four more seats in the 50-member parliament yet to be officially declared. There is no outright winner. Corey Hawkins is in Honiara.
As of yesterday, the two largest blocs in the winner's circle were independents and the incumbent Prime Minister Manase Songovare's Our Party. These were tied with 12 MPs each. At this stage, it is next to impossible to predict the final form of the coalition government because MPs are not legally bound to political parties and can move freely between camps. At the last election in 2019, Our Party did not even exist going into the polls, but was created by Mr. Songovare with the intention of pulling together the large number of independent MPs. In Solomon Islands, there is a stark disparity in both pay and benefits between government, opposition and independent MPs, which ups the stakes significantly.
A renowned Australian volcano expert is working with Tonga Geological Services on developing a volcanic eruption hazard assessment for the country. A spokesperson for the Geological Services office in Nuku'alofa says Paul Taylor has been with them for a week identifying submarine volcanoes across the kingdom. They say the work is critical because it will enhance Tonga's understanding and preparedness for volcanic activities. Tonga was hit by a tsunami in January 2022 when the Hungatonga Hungahapai volcano erupted. A woman behind an education support organization says the New Zealand government needs to acknowledge innovators in the education space. Lesieli Oliver says last year 33% of Māori and 32% of Pacifica were attending school 90% of the time. She says they're also struggling with literacy rates. Ms. Oliver says those with experience are able to create meaningful lessons.
And it is important that the government acknowledges innovators like myself, especially in the space of education, because we understand our people. We understand it from a cultural perspective. We understand it from the experience of being there, living in poverty, which is a lot of Māori Pacifica are. And so we're able to create culturally relevant learning content.
The Office of the E-Safety Commissioner in Australia says it will continue to use legal powers to protect Australians from extreme violent content after launching court action against social media platform X. The ABC's political reporter Evelyn Manfield reports.
Last night, the federal court ruled social media platform X, formerly Twitter, must hide video footage globally of last week's stabbing at a Sydney church. The commissioner had ordered social media platforms to take down footage of the stabbing. X objected, threatening legal action and labelling it censorship, but later said it'd comply in the interim. But eSafety argued X only blocked content in Australia, meaning it could be seen elsewhere. The lawyer representing X said he hadn't had instructions from his client given the time difference and called for an adjournment. But in a decision that lasts until Wednesday evening, the court ruled the video must be hidden as soon as possible.
In world news, the US Secretary of State says Washington is looking into allegations that Israeli forces have committed human rights abuses in Gaza. Speaking to reporters at the launch of an annual human rights study, Antony Blinken denied suggestions the U.S. had double standards when it came to Israel.
As this report makes clear, in general, as we're looking at human rights and the condition of human rights around the world, we apply the same standard to everyone. And that doesn't change whether the country in question is an adversary, a competitor, a friend, or an ally.
Mr. Blinken's comments follow reports that for the first time a Israeli Defense Force unit was facing sanctions for alleged violations in the West Bank. Prosecutors on the opening day of Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York have accused him of orchestrating a conspiracy of fraud and lies. They say he covered up hush money payments to a porn star in the run-up to the 2016 election, which he won. The BBC's Gary O'Donoghue is outside the courts.
This is really about the way in which that money was reimbursed to Michael Cohen, the lawyer who actually arranged the payments. So Donald Trump is in fact accused of falsifying business records, but it's been turned into a felony rather than a misdemeanor, if you like, by this added accusation that it was done to interfere with the election. The defense, for their part, said, look, don't forget, you might not like it, but it's no crime to pay a porn star, and that Donald Trump wasn't involved in these accounting processes of which he's been accused of falsifying business records.
Police in Ecuador say they have captured the fugitive leader of a powerful criminal gang. Fabricio Pico, the leader of Los Lobos, had been on the run since escaping from jail in January. The BBC's Celiso Sala has more details.
Fabricio Colompico had dyed his hair blonde in an attempt to change his appearance. It took police more than 4 months to trace him to the town of Puerto Quito. The 44-year-old was one of the most wanted people in Ecuador. On the 8th of January, he escaped from jail alongside 30 other prisoners during a major riot. Ecuador's Attorney General, Diana Salazar, accused Colompico of plotting to kill her and of planning last year's murder of the presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio.
Halfback Sean Johnson is open-minded about signing on for another season with the Warriors. The 33-year-old would be welcomed back by coach Andrew Webster, but Johnson, who is battling an Achilles tendon injury, says a lot goes into the decision.
For me to make that decision to play on, I've got to actually receive a contract offer, and that hasn't happened yet. But I am certainly starting those conversations with the right people. It'll all sort of play out how it's meant to, and whether we land at that decision, hopefully sooner rather than later, I'll be ready to make that announcement.
The Warriors face the Gold Coast Titans on Thursday, the first home Anzac Day fixture for the NRL club since 2015. That's it for RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can find more details at rnzi.com.